get to either try new things or do something you already know, which you enjoy doing, so then you don't have to go like, this is so hard, I don't know how to do this, and then stress about it. You can just have fun, talk, and just do what you want to do.
Welcome to Risky Business, where we say education is what's left when everything that's been taught has been forgotten. Andy Grimm.
Ah, thanks, Jack. That sounds like a bit of the Swiss Master going on there.
It could be the Swiss Master.
Yeah, nice. Couldn't agree more. I think today we'll explore that a little bit more as we unpack what it means to us to try and give our students the education that they're going to use in their life.
Yeah, nice. Cool. Well, this is our first episode. So it probably makes sense at this point to say who we are and what we're doing and what the point of this whole thing is.
Sure, I can jump in there.
Go, man.
My name's Andy Grimm, and at the moment we're teaching over in Cambodia, in Phnom Penh, at a fantastic school called Northbridge International School in Cambodia. And
nice plug.
Yeah, thanks. It's a place that I'm excited about teaching at and trying out new things. And I sort of feel like my path started on this idea of innovation or not even that, just trying new things for myself. When I started out working back in New Zealand with Boz Hills and Fee, and they were...
good guys.
Yeah, yeah. A nice inspiration for me moving forward. How about you?
Yeah, nice. We're at the same school, so we're in Cambodia. And my background, so I didn't start from teaching, so I've come into it from sort of creative industries, so you know, photography and nice. Graphic design. That's where I was at, and then fell into the teaching role, and now I'm sort of in the path of kind of having a bit of practical experience with teaching, but sort of, you know, catching up on the theoretical side and that, and I'm doing my master's at the moment. So just learning what that's all about. And part of that is learning the theory in this, hopefully, you know, going through some of those big ideas. And I run the makerspace here at NISC. So it's all about making and STEAM learning, that kind of stuff too.
Nice. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that.
And what do you do?
Grade 5 teacher. So we sort of go through everything there and looking at bringing STEAM into the classroom as well. But I'm actually quite interested about how, it's slightly off topic, but I'm going to go there.
Go on.
How you think that experience in the creative industry outside of education, how was that sort of like, I guess, brought something a little different to the teaching game?
Yeah, I think that it does. So I started by teaching design. I think if there is one subject that it would be good to have teachers with industry experience, it's probably in design, in that area, because I just think it's just going to be a bit more of a genuine, whatever it is that you decide to explore through that, it might be a little bit more genuine with some sort of industry experience, whether that's like, you know, like a wood shop thing or graphic design or whatever it is, whatever you're trying to explore. I don't know. I mean, you could come from any industry and bring something useful, right? You never really know how it's gonna help and what's gonna be good from that.
Nice. Okay, so that's a little intro to us, but I guess the purpose of this podcast, we sort of have started this project as a quick conversation, and then we thought about, well, what is it that actually brings us together, and what are we excited about?
Yep.
And one of those things are the love of all things new and shiny.
We love them. We love the shiny things.
Yeah. And so I guess this is a good opportunity to try these things out, but also to hold each other accountable and to learn from each other a bit as well.
Yeah, nice. We've called it Risky Business. It's a great name, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Nice work on that.
Yeah.
So risk-taking is something that we are big on, right? And as this is not just as a student, but the teacher's taking some risks as well and just trying things out. We think teaching shouldn't necessarily be a safe thing. You got to take some risks.
Yeah, I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome.
What else are we looking at? Critical thinking. That's something else we want to... Well, this is us being critical of the mainstream, but also ourselves, like, and how we implement these things, right? So every, we don't want to just go ahead and do something and say, yeah, that was awesome, I'm awesome, you know, it's a new idea. We do say that quite a lot, though. But we got to be critical of that too, and there are going to be things we try that don't work out, and that's cool. That's part of it.
Yeah, and I think that I guess the honesty, which isn't something we've written down, but I guess the honesty is going to play into that a lot as we look critically at what we're doing. You know, we've got to put ourselves out there, be vulnerable, but be honest and actually use that critical thinking.
And that is something like. Having someone else involved is really helpful for that, right?
Mm.
Whether it's to celebrate something that worked or to be honest about it and give someone some feedback, there needs to be someone else involved because it can go either way, right? Mm. Like you could be like, ah, that sucked and nothing I did was good in that lesson. You know, someone else involved might be like, oh, you know, that was cool. This part was cool, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And I think it's something that I have sort of come across more and more as in the education game is this whole idea that the decisions we make, it needs to be backed up in research. You know, you can't just freestyle everything. You can't just bring something in and expect it to work or expect it to have value. So I think that we're going to pay tribute to that research, but we're going to keep it short and sharp. But maybe bring in some names so if there's listeners out there, you can explore that further yourself.
Yeah, nice. We won't do all the research for you. We'll do a little bit. But yeah, that's right. And this is just us exploring these things and figuring out on ourselves, right? Like we're not coming at this as the experts and imparting the wisdom, but we're figuring things out and hopefully the listeners will figure out along with us.
Cool. Nice.
All right, cool. So this week, we'll get into sort of our focus, which is going to be on student agency, right?
Yeah.
But we tried out a few things in the classes. Mm-hmm. So we got some student reflections on some of that. So let's have a little listen through that stuff.
Oh, I haven't heard this. So I'm excited to see what the kids have been saying.
All right.
What do you think?
So I think it's very fun because normally, like, we don't get to pick our own like, partners to do in some classes, and when we have like an opportunity to do it, it feels really exciting to do it and to sometimes try new things. And if you get scared or something, someone's like here to help you out.
All right. Thanks for recording that. That was a little interesting insight into what's going on there. What did you spot?
I don't know. I feel like what one of the girls was describing, where she gets to, she could either try new things, mm-hmm. she said, which are challenging, or she could do things she already knows, so it's less stressful. I feel like that was her way of kind of talking about like cognitive load type mm-hmm. thing. So I just find that's interesting that the student is able to moderate themselves in that way to scaffold for themselves, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. I definitely picked out that sort of feeling of it's less scary or less stressful when you've got that support of a group around you, which was quite interesting. But then when I was thinking about that, an interesting idea is, well, what happens if the group that you're working with doesn't function in that way? Like, then does it become a stressful situation? Right. But
yeah, absolutely. Nice. And I think also they seemed pretty into it, right? So she, you know, one of the girls was saying she was excited, she feels like she's got this opportunity. And that's kind of nice stuff to hear, right? Like they're up for what's going on, which is really cool.
Yeah. Nice. So I guess that's a good point for us to jump into what we've been playing around with, trying out, and I guess the focus for this particular podcast.
Yeah, it's student agency.
Oh, nice.
That's your baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a PD day, because the our curriculum we use, which is the IB curriculum, is pushing out the enhanced PYP, yep. And it has a real focus on agency, which I personally find really exciting.
Yeah,
and
good thing. Yeah.
And maybe we can just give a little bit of a quick history, not history, but maybe some research that goes along behind that.
Yeah, so we're doing the educational theory in a minute.
Oh, nice.
So it's 60 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
Not actually timing this, but we're going to try to keep it to a minute. And we're going to break down the theory and the big players within a minute, and then we'll move on to the good stuff. How's that sound?
Nice.
So it all starts with Bandura. I've called him the granddaddy of self-efficacy.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So he came up with a lot of this stuff with the social cognitive theory. And this took over from, at the time, more behaviorist kind of thing of just, you know, rote learning, drilling into the kids, rewards and punishments. Yeah. And he's come along and said, I think students are a bit smarter than that. And they are actually thinking about what they're doing, right? And they're processing the information. And he brought it down to two big factors. The external, which is the social side, people around you, people you work with, adults, knowledgeable others, and then the internal factors, so the cognitive side, what you're processing inside your brain.
Nice. Well, I had a Piaget, and I actually came across him again in the Lifelong Kindergarten book. Interestingly, he sits outside the top 10 of influential Swiss people. So
there must be a lot of good Swiss people coming.
Yeah.
That's tough competition at the top there.
I call that the New Zealand gold when you sit just outside the medals. So, but anyhow, so Piaget, he came up with this whole idea that that children construct their own knowledge and understanding of the world by building on their current knowledge and playing, creating, reimagining things, and sort of testing those boundaries with the very concrete. And it's all about experiences sort of pushing their learning further, and it's not about someone giving them knowledge, it's about them constructing their own knowledge.
Yeah, nice. All right.
And that's sort of, and the book, The Lifelong Kindergarten with Mitch Resnick, I believe.
Yeah, Mitch Resnick.
Yeah. He sort of has taken that idea and, he really believes in that sort of model of kindergarten and how actually it should be brought into everyone's lives, and adults included. And it's a fantastic way to learn and create new understandings.
Yeah, nice. Cool. All right, well, there's the theory. That was a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back in with what we think student agency is all about.
Okay, so I guess we've talked about the theory a bit on the podcast, but also behind the scenes. Yep. And we've sort of come up with a hit list for us of what agency means. And we're just going to whip through them really quickly and then maybe return to a couple of the key points for us right now and what we're trying to do.
Nice.
So we've got the key points for us. It's lifelong. It's purposeful. Agency's empowering. It's metacognitive. It's process-driven and it's community-based, and that all sort of builds towards self-efficacy.
Yeah, nice one. Cool. So, lifelong. Go ahead. Yeah.
I guess this goes back to someone who did make the top 10 of influential Swiss people. Your quote about Albert Einstein Albert Einstein earlier is that we really are trying to use agency as a tool to bring education into their real lives. So we want it to be something that they're using now, in school, of course, out of school, but also when they leave school. They need to have strategies. They need to have these skills so they can be successful and just good members of you know, society, I guess.
Yeah, and it is so intuitive when you think about it. Like, we're not going to be there forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have to be teaching them to survive without us.
Yeah.
Essentially. That just makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Purposeful was the next one you mentioned. And I think the girls really put that quite well when what they were talking earlier in that little bite that we have. But that it felt like it was meaningful to them. It was something they could connect with. And it was, they were able to bring to it what they had, right? So the task is kind of meeting them halfway, I suppose, in a sense.
Yeah, and I think that when I've been thinking about purposeful as well, it's those points. It's that it can, having a purpose, it could be that it's linking them with something that they're really passionate about in the moment. But it could also be explaining to the students how what you're learning now, how it can be used outside of a school and educational context. Or it might be the context is set in almost like a role play where they are an architect or they are a particular job out there that, you know, and send it up in that context.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice one. All right, well, let's roll through a couple of these other ones. So empowering is something else we said. This is all about voice, choice, ownership. These are the things you hear generally. PYP's gone with a couple of those terms as well to sort of describe their stance.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty important. Metacognitive. So we decided we could kind of merge together reflection and also self-regulation through the process. We think they're both kind of encapsulated by metacognitive.
Yeah, and then the process-driven, which, you know, like sharing with the students and the community that actually the product is a part of everything, but it's not the most important part. It comes with the process and those little victories that you have along the way, or those little fails that you have that, you know, set the light bulb off. I think that process driven is really important.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I know we said we weren't going to talk about this one too much, but because I feel like we could do a podcast on this, we could do an episode, but it is a tough one because we talk to the kids about it, and yet I don't think very many schools have quite figured out a good way of celebrating process to the wider community, because it tends to always be product driven, right? So that's kind of a big problem that I think people are dealing with, worth discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got lots to say about that, but let's park it.
Community based was the last one that we got to, and so that idea is the community is a few different levels to that. It could be the peers, you know, in a working group, but it could also be the wider community, or you know, the world in, you know, in our role as global citizens, the whole big thing, right?
Yeah, and I think that being an international school, that you sort of do see that bigger picture. You do see people wanting to sort of make a difference in the world, and our curriculum is based on that. The learner profile attributes really pushing students to become these high functioning, like just good human beings in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess the whole, like, as we talk about agency, these little bits that join together, the big picture of agency outside of being lifelong is that through these, it's all going to result in self-efficacy. So the students are going to have this belief in themselves that whatever they come up against in the world, like, they've got the skills to sort of to see themselves through it and do that in a positive way, I guess.
Which is half the battle, right?
Mm.
Like believing you can do it, or, you know, you have to start from there, right?
Yeah.
But
often we get into that habit of maybe a little bit of self-doubt or that self-doubt or that panic if something seems too big for you to deal with.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that by bringing that agency in now, especially with the primary focus for me, then it's really going to support them to be able to deal with that.
Yeah, nice. Cool. All right. So that's the bones of it. That's where we've sort of broken it down. And I think that all makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess when we're talking about agency, and something that we've talked about and looking to do is, well, this is like our positivity, our enjoyment of new things. It has to be tampered a bit with, well, hold on a moment. Well, what could be a little problem or a snag, or what are other people saying out there that might sort of be the other side of the coin, I guess.
Yeah, because not every teacher is jumping on board, right?
No.
There are people out there who, they've been doing this for a long time, longer than, certainly longer than me. Mm-hmm. Some have even been doing it longer than you.
easy.
Sorry, man. Cheap shot. But yes, there's people who are not on board, right? And they may well have some pretty decent reasons. So yeah, should we go through some of the criticisms, some challenges?
Yeah, you know? I think the one that I see a lot is that it's a difficulty to relinquish a bit of control.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not a judgment statement, because I'm like this. This is who I am. But I know that that's a big thing for a lot of people, and that has to be respected. But at the same time, I think that has to be challenged as well, I guess.
Yeah, and there's so much embedded in this kind of concept of what a teacher is.
Mm-hmm.
That is based on that, right? I mean, the idea that a teacher, the one who teaches, right? Like that's, in some ways, it's kind of a fundamental change from that, right? Like, I mean, it's understandable that would be getting in the way. I notice this one all the time is that, and this is us and our system training the kids in a certain way, but a lot of kids are actually uncomfortable with this because some of the kids want clear expectations. Yeah. They want to be told what they have to do to get the grade. And they want a very fair and balanced rewards and punishment system. Yeah. Like they know the rules, they want to stick to it. And sometimes you can upset some kids when you throw that out the window. Doesn't mean you shouldn't necessarily do it, but like it is tough. That's the weaning process, I guess.
Yeah, and I have might link them with this, or maybe something slightly different. But just this whole idea that when you are trying to remove those scaffolds, is that you have students so often like wanting that check-in constantly. It's not about them checking in with themselves, it's them checking in with an adult to make sure they're on track, and sort of not realizing that, hold on, I have the power over the situation. Like, no, I haven't done this well, I've got to go back and do it. Or I've done a fantastic job there, I'm really proud of myself.
So troubleshooting that, do you think it is, in that case, they're self-doubt and they need, they're genuinely like, they don't know what to do next and they want to check it? Or is it that gratification, that reward system, like they want a little pat on the back because they feel like they did, you know what I mean? They're checking in to get nice work, keep going. Like, is it the extrinsic motivation, they get a little used to that? Or is it genuinely?
That's a good question. Sometimes, well, it depends on the day for me, I guess. But today, I sort of feel like it's a little bit of that extrinsic, looking for the, I just need that little bit of contact and make sure I'm on the right track and make sure that I'm feeling good about myself.
Yep.
But also, I think it's a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. Because we've sort of, maybe at times, given too much scaffolding, or not too much scaffolding, but we've taught in a particular way that requires that check-in, and I have to make sure it's set out in this way. Then I think they've got into that habit of, okay, well, I just need a check, and that's what they do.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And I think also we can give them some some ways of sort of being able to motivate themselves and reward themselves and give themselves a pat on the back in some ways, right? Yeah. That's how we get through it generally, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, as we talk about these challenges and the risks involved in it all, I think it comes back to how we bring in the agency. And I think that if it is someone who's feeling really nervous about giving up control, then it has to be small steps, bit by bit. But also, I think something that I keep coming back to is that when we're talking about student agency, there needs to be really strong relationships with the students sitting behind that. And because if you don't know the student, then you might jump in too early, and then you're just adding that check-in that they didn't actually need, and or you might not have their interest in what they're doing. So,
well, and every kid's going to be at a different point, right? So you probably in your class right now have got half a dozen kids that would flourish, and then half a dozen kids that would be drowning if you tried to do this, right? And like, you, luckily it could work for you because you know them so well, you know who's going to need that support and, yeah, and how to help them out. But yeah, not recommended with like a fresh batch of kids on day one of the year, right?
Yeah, you have to ease them in, I guess. Yeah.
What about this one? Yeah, student agency, project-based learning, whatever. It sounds all good, but I teach maths and we've got content. We got to cover it.
Oh, the content conundrum.
The content. Yeah, like, because, well, it's a genuine concern, right? Some things feel like they need to be directly taught. So can everything be taught in this kind of open exploration way?
I think that, do you know what? I think it actually brings more awareness to what you're teaching when you open it up a little bit more. When you change the rules of how you're delivering it a bit more, you have to be really knowledgeable about, well, what is it that they need to achieve within this set time frame?
Right.
How have I set up the learning to make sure that this is something that they'll find and they'll get to? And so I think it brings a real level of knowledge to the curriculum, to the content that you want to, that you want the kids to pick up. And then you're constantly keeping an eye on it as well. Like, well, where's the evidence of this in the student's work? And so
sure.
Yeah. But it's something that requires a lot of energy and time.
Yep.
But I think it's, well worth it.
This might be a little bit of a PYP focus here, but you know, maybe if you are looking at, if you're doing what you said and you're sort of looking critically at what you have in front of you and you're finding that there is a lot of content that needs to be directly taught, kind of going back to old mate Albert before, you know, that's the stuff that is probably going to be forgotten. So is that what you want to be focusing on in your class, or is it not, right? Maybe it should be a bit more well, the PYP would say, you know, conceptual thinking, right? And ideas, big ideas, not facts and figures, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Nice. Yeah. All right. Do we need a little bit of a break and come back?
Yeah, we'll sing it. Sounds good.
Talking about student agency,
yeah.
You mentioned earlier Lifelong Kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Great book. And I think one of the sort of ideas in that and in a lot of this is that we're describing a way that children naturally learn in their own habitats, on their own, when they don't have a teacher in front of them.
Yeah.
This is what they do.
Yeah.
Right. This is how they try and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a little run in with this over the week, right?
And it's quite nice because it brings everything together.
Yeah.
It's also the challenges that you face within this idea of student agency too. So I've got a couple of wee tickers at home, 5 and 7, and we've got one of those electronic snack kits.
Nice.
Which are really cool and enjoyable to play with. And my daughter wanted to get it out, and we sort of sat down and we did the following instructions, and like, yes, we've got this. And it was like, well, what do you want to do? And it's like, oh, I'd love the fire engine sounds.
Yeah,
well,
who doesn't love a fire engine sound? It's great.
Yeah.
What do you think about fire engine sounds, Mr. Randy? Well,
it changed. and so we built that circuit, and then there was a period of like, okay, should we build a new circuit? And then when we built the second circuit, it was just adding a block in, really. And then it sort of became an exploration, which was really exciting to see. And so it was just adding bits in a similar area and seeing what the result was. All the while, the toy was switched on still and creating a horrific mess of noise.
Turned up to 11.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the grim way.
Yeah. And so I went through that process of, I love this exploration, but I don't love the sound. And so I suggested, how about you turn off the sound, change some blocks, turn on the sound again and see what happens. And that started, and I caught myself because I thought that as soon as you do that, you don't have that instant response of hearing how the sound changes as you go. So the challenge for me as a parent was, it was noisy and it was messy, and I just had to suck it up and deal with it for the benefit that she was getting out of playing with the toy.
Right. I mean, and we said we're going to be honest about these things, right?
Mm.
So often it is us getting in the way, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the plans are there, the students are keen, but I just can't be bothered. Like, it's too hard. Like, I'd rather just put on a movie form or a slideshow presentation. But, like, this is genuine, right? Like, this is how, like, this is something you have to struggle through is it can be messy and frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely.
But worth it if you can grin and bear.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing some reading and I found something that connects to this. This is comes from an article, Wendy Scott. Back in the 90s, 1996, so it's an oldie. Let me find my quote here. So she's talking about the way that adults ask questions, and we, you know, the old-fashioned way is to ask questions you know the answer to, right? What color is the fire truck? Yeah. And the students, they know that you know the answer, right? And they realize that this is contrived and it's not genuine.
You're just trying to check in that they're listening, really.
Essentially, yeah, exactly. And you're training them to give quick answers as well. That's another thing.
Yeah,
good point. But what she sort of comes to is that, you know, authentic, genuine discussions are way more powerful. And the key is that the children and the adults are sharing a genuine interest.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like that sounds really true, but the implication to that is, you know, I think it's fair to sort of ask this is, you know, what happens when we're not interested anymore? Like, can we keep doing these same tasks year on year, or do we have to keep changing it all?
Yeah.
Does anything, you know, is our curriculum going to just keep changing every time because I don't have a genuine interest anymore? Like, how do we get through that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'm definitely of the mind of like, this was great, but how can we make it bigger and better?
Or
how can we make it more exciting? But I guess it comes back to that whole idea of like that critical thinking and that critical reflection. And if you are looking at something and you are seeing positive after positive after positive, then you're probably only looking at a small tweak, right?
Yep.
Of what you're doing. But maybe if it's the situation where you're like, not all the students are engaged with that, or that was quite difficult to sort of to get the message across and that, then maybe that's when you're looking for new and shiny things.
Yeah, nice. So we gave ourselves some tasks this week, and we tried some things out, and we'll just reflect real quick on that. On what we were going for and what happened.
Yeah, okay. So I was looking at the purposeful aspect of agency and trying to bring student engagement, I guess, to the learning, and so that was one way I did it in grade five was we noticed a real enjoyment in drawing 3D shapes during our surface area and volume. And so it was using the 3D shapes as the starting point to push them forward to explore these ideas of surface area and volume,
which has been
really enjoyable. And the 3D drawing has continued side by side, and they've developed more complex drawings, but also they're still challenging themselves. Well, can I find out the surface area of these more complex drawings, or could I find out the volume of these things as well?
Nice. Is it fair to say, like, it's kind of an approach, a depth approach versus sort of a breadth thing? You know, like, just not, you don't just move on, but there's more to learn out of this, right?
Yeah, and I think that, giving the students we gave the students the resources that they needed to access the learning at the right time. And I think that after spending 4 or 5 days on this, we now need to make sure that actually this exploration has stuck, and it's not just they sort of understand the concept of it without then being able to apply it to a different situation. So I think that's the next step for the grade five class. And then in grade four, we just used a real Cambodian context to try and pitch an opportunity for them to look into perimeter and area. And I took on a role of a successful construction owner, I guess, Mr. Vassar, and so the kids really bought into this whole idea of the character that I was playing, and sort of this idea that the questions that they asked me could only be about the construction. And if they had other questions about well, what is area and what is perimeter, then that had to be directed to the teachers. So it was sort of giving them that idea of asking the right questions to the right people as well.
Oh, I like that. That's pretty neat.
But that's going to be running for 4 or 5 weeks, so maybe we can touch base on that a bit later as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, how about you?
So I was trying out, I had a bit of a focus on process. Nice. And I wanted the kids to be in control of the process. And something I've never quite been able to figure out is like success criteria. I've not had much luck with kids writing their own success criteria.
Yeah, so really knowing what they're aiming for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And coming up with that independently.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my challenge. And so we're doing a robot designing thing. So they had to design some robots, come up with the context, what type of robot it was going to be.
Yeah.
And they're superheroes that are solving real world problems, essentially. But basically, the way I had them do it is we determined some key jobs that in their group that they would need. They're going to need a coder. Mm-hmm. They're going to need a builder.
Yeah.
They would need someone to write, like a writer, to do the backstory and the origin tale and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, so we figured out what those jobs would be. And then I let them decide, if that person has done their job well, what will they have accomplished by the end?
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. So they came up with something like the builder was, every group is different, but one of them might have been, if the builder is successful, we will have a working robot that is able to drive around and pick up heavy things.
Yeah.
You know. And then from that, so that was kind of that's the end goal. Then I brought them from that to back to where they are now.
Yeah.
What are the steps you need to do to get there? Mm-hmm. And let them come up with those. So, they sort of decided what that would be. First, I need to draw a robot.
Yeah.
Then I need to build it. Then I need to test it. Then I need to, and it was up to them to decide. And now they've got in front of them a plan.
Yeah, nice.
With an end goal. Yeah. And they're just working through those. So they're just checking off the goals and giving themselves like a little cross out on the to-do list. And,
nice. Satisfying.
There's one of your what are the intrinsic motivations, can reward yourself in that way.
Can I just ask a quick question before we move on? Did you have any laggers on that one? Did you have anyone that was really struggling to sort of access what you were hoping to get?
Yeah, I think so. But the fact that they were in groups helped a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, yes, there would have been some individual students
mm-hmm.
that were struggling with that. But I think in most cases, within a group, there was someone that could kind of help out there. But that does kind of point out a challenge that, hopefully it's not that there is a dominant kid in each group just sort of running the show.
Yeah.
And that my feel is that that wasn't the case. But, that is something you got to sort of keep an eye on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I really think that that our students, the collaborative aspect is a really important part of their learning and their constructing of learning. I like that the sort of assessment has that built into it, where sometimes we don't assess in a collaborative way, and be able to come out with, has that person added value to the group. So I feel like that really is a really rich bit of learning and reflection, I guess, that they'll get from that at the end of it all as well.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
All right. So we've had a little bit of a chat about what our assignments were for that week. Yeah. And I've enjoyed the conversation today. Yeah. Are we at the point where we're going to wrap this bad boy up?
I think we're going to wrap it up, yeah. I mean, that was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like we're on the right track here.
Yep.
I'm really enjoying the sort of discussion and,
And action as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to do the action, right? Yep. And we've one of the things you pointed out earlier is you have to make sure the kid knows how they're going to use this skill and what it's for. Right. And that goes for us too. There's no point talking the theory and be like, this is what student agency is, because you can't make that genuine connection unless you're trying it out and seeing how to, you know what I mean? Like problems present that you would never have thought of. So you have to be kind of putting it into practice constantly. So that's a great point. The action is really, really useful.
Yeah, nice little bow in that in the episode there. So it's been a pleasure, Jack.
And, yeah, thanks, Eddie.
See you next week.
Yeah, cool. Bye. That's it.